All right, we're never going to fit all of this into the next hour, and there's no need to remind you about 2020 as we review this past year on your state capitol report. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Kate Archer Kent today. And ask, what stood out to you in 2020 as we look at the executive, legislative, judicial branches of our state government? And our guests look back on the politics of the year that was. What do you want to share about your year? Take your calls this morning at 1-800-642-1234. You can email our show at ideas@wpr.org. Our guest this morning, Wisconsin Public Radio's Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson joins us. Good morning, Sean.
Morning, Lee.
Also joining us, Molly Beck, who covers state politics and government for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Molly, good morning.
Good morning, and thanks for having me.
So, I don't even know where to begin here with 2020, but let's start chronologically. Molly, take us back to the year as it began, the halcyon days of January 2020. What were we looking at for the year ahead?
Well, I can barely remember what January was like or life before March, mid-March, but we were looking ahead to kind of a quiet year in the state capitol. Sean and I both covered the state capitol and the state legislature and the governor, and this was an election year. So I think I wrote a story that said, you know, it'll be a quiet year in the capitol because of all the campaigning that'll be happening. And that actually did turn out to be true. There wasn't a lot of activity in the Capitol, but there was a lot of issues that, at least I heard from the public, that they wanted the Capitol to respond to. As we know, the pandemic and unrest over racial discrimination and unemployment and issues like that. But back in January, I think we were just thinking that Wisconsin was going to be just overrun with candidates and national reporters, and we were just going to be talking about the presidential race all year.
Now, as the Democratic National Convention was set to come to the Fiserv Arena and put Milwaukee in the national political spotlight, and then Molly, March hit, and if you were to take us back to the Ides of March and what was happening in Wisconsin politics and how the coronavirus pandemic at least temporarily changed the atmosphere there.
Yeah, in mid-March, you know, I think it became suddenly clear that there was going to be a stay-at-home order. It seemed like I just remember the development of how the state was responding to the pandemic just went from not much talk about it to, you know, everything was shutting down in just a matter of days, it felt like. And, you know, we all gathered at the Emergency Operations Center, where the National Guard is based in Madison, and the governor said that he was going to be issuing a public health emergency, which, you know, I had never covered before. And then I believe soon after that is when he started issuing the orders to shut down businesses and schools. And that, you know, we didn't talk about the presidential race for a bit after that, you know, and at the state level, there, you know, this Republican leaders in the legislature and the governor for a little bit were seemingly on the same page on what to do with the pandemic. At least there wasn't, you know, just total opposition like materialized later.
There was large bipartisanship in April as there was some COVID relief legislation passed. But that bipartisanship seemed to be that moment seemed to be the end of bipartisanship by and large in the state capitol. Would that be a fair assessment, Sean?
Yeah, I mean, I think the partisanship was always simmering if you kind of look back at the stories that we did. But there was a brief period there. You know, I was just looking back at a story from March 25th. It's hard to believe. But this is when Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald kind of first gave their first media briefing after all this was happening. And at the time, you know, they said there was no thought to overturning the governor's emergency powers. I mean, Senator Fitzgerald said they hadn't even considered it. And Speaker Voss at the time was saying, you know, we'll see what it's like in 60 days, but now is not the time to question what the governor is doing. It's hard to imagine that. And it didn't last very long because you had pretty soon after that, the governor tried unsuccessfully to move the April election. That ended up in court. You had you know, legislature taking him to court for the Safer at Home order soon after that. So it was just a very brief window when that fighting wasn't happening.
Was there, and how big was the pivot for you in March, Sean, as you were covering the Capitol?
Oh, it's pretty surreal. And I think March was that way for everybody. It was just kind of like, this is our little corner of the world, and seeing how quickly things happened. For me, I think one of the big days was just the day that UW-Madison moved to virtual instruction, because after that, it seems like things just kept happening. You know, after that's when the governor declared his first public health emergency. Then he closes schools, bans gatherings of 50 or more, then 10 or more, and then you get Safer at Home.
You go back to it, and it's really March 11th, the UW moves to virtual instruction. March 12th, the governor declares his first public health emergency. March 13th, the governor orders schools to close. March 16th, the governor orders a ban on gatherings of 50 or more. We have our first two casualties from COVID-19, March 19th. And Molly, did the conflicts we saw between Governor Evers and the Republican leadership in spring, was that part of the inertia that we saw throughout the rest of the year?
I remember that starting, like Sean said, I remember that starting over the election. I think it was the proposal to send out absentee ballot applications to everybody pretty close to the election. I think that's when we saw the Republican leaders and the Democratic governor and the familiar tensions and fighting that had been happening up until that point. I believe that's when it started, you know, happening again. And then I don't remember there being another kind of stalemate, so to speak, after the election. That spring election was, that there were lawsuits and accusations of, you're trying to thwart democracy, and you're trying to put people's lives at risk, you know, and those are huge accusations to level at each other. So that's where we've been since then.
Was there anything, I mean, we saw the stories in April about what was going to happen with the April elections and how it was politicized or different points of view from the Republicans and the Democrats. But when we look back on April, was there other things happening behind the scenes at the time, or what we were seeing at the time playing out in the media? Was that basically the debate? I mean, was there any discussions going on between the governor and legislators back in April?
You know, there was a kind of a debate over what their first COVID bill was going to be. And they had been somewhat peaceful for a while, again, publicly. And then you went through a period there where they started trading public letters, you know. Mm-hmm. And some of it based on reporting from Molly, if I remember right, through an open records request. But then everything's just kind of laid bare where one stern letter to another, where leaders are telling the governor, get a move on. He's telling them to agree to his bills. They do pass a COVID-19 bill almost unanimously in the legislature in April, but that was like it. They were fighting before that vote and fighting after it.
That was it. Sean Johnson, WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief, joining us for your State Capitol Report, along with Molly Beck this morning from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And you along the way as well at 1-800-642-1234. How was the year 2020 for you? Take your calls when we continue. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you are listening to the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. This is the Ideas Network. For too many, meant loss. And maybe we've become numb to it as we brace for 2021. The first two confirmed deaths in Wisconsin from COVID-19 were back on March 19th. The governor announced his first Safer at Home order 5 days later. And we end the year with 1 in 1,000 Americans dead from COVID-19. and we're recapping the year in your state capitol report. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn. A global pandemic, mass unemployment, protests over police abuse, the presidential election, all of it felt like it hit right here in Wisconsin in 2020. And I'll ask, how did it hit you? 1-800-642-1234 is the number. You can also email us ideas at WPR.org. Sean Johnson joins us, WPR Capitol Bureau Chief, and Molly Beck, who covers state politics and government for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And Molly, beyond the pandemic this year, were there other political issues that may have lost attention? When we began the year, there would have been issues like what to do about Foxconn, what to do about Lincoln Hills. Where did those issues end up at the end of 2020?
Well, I remember one big issue was whether whether Milwaukee was going to allow late bar time for the DNC.
Yes. That was now.
I know. That was a big issue. And that turned out to not matter at all. the DNC was another issue that was a big deal for Wisconsin, a big deal for Milwaukee. A big deal for Wisconsin Democrats, obviously. And what happened was, it seems like most of the Democratic National Convention ended up in Delaware, and there wasn't a whole lot going on in Milwaukee ultimately. I think we're still trying to figure out what economic impact was expected and what actually resulted from what was there. But I remember that was a big issue before, the pandemic hit. But also after the pandemic hit, there were, the unemployment issue in Wisconsin has been and still is, just a major crisis here. And that's persisted, for 9 months. And we also saw, as everyone remembers, massive protests in the street and unrest over racial discrimination related to policing, and all those issues were happening at once. So that there's a lot happening here.
Yeah, Molly, you and Sean both covered the protests and demonstrations at the Capitol following George Floyd's death this year. And as you've had some time to process everything that's happened this past summer, I'll start with you, Sean, but I'm interested in hearing from you both. How do you look back on the demonstrations that took place in the streets of Wisconsin, not just in Madison and Milwaukee, but as Rob Mentzer points out, in small communities across the state? What's your takeaway from the protests from the summer, Sean?
I guess a couple. Obviously, the subject of the protests is, and it's still something that our country is grappling with and going to grapple with in 2021 and beyond. We kind of know that. Just on a personal level, I've never covered a protest like that before, where you had police lines, tear gas, learning to go cover a protest with goggles and, like an N95 mask, if you had one, because of tear gas, something entirely new, just on a personal level. And then, the property damage was also something that I hadn't seen before, covering protests connected to, stuff that happens in the state government.
Do we end the year? Is that with any momentum with the protests from the summer, or has that gone dormant at this point as you see it?
There is, the speaker did convene a committee to, look at race relations in Wisconsin. It's not what the governor wanted. He had a special session that he called and had a lot of bills that he wanted to address police accountability, but they didn't get there on that. And so it's, obviously not going to happen in this calendar year. There's talk that they might pass something next year.
Molly, is you go back to the protests in the streets of Wisconsin this summer, and we hit the end of 2020 and look ahead towards 2021. How do you look back on the protests?
Yeah, I mean, what Sean said at a personal level, I think he and I were both at the what happened at the end of May in downtown Madison. And I also had not covered anything like that. There was a police car set on fire and somebody drove it down the street right in front of us. And then it started exploding and there was tear gas everywhere. And that was that's something I haven't covered before. And I also haven't seen demonstrations that passionate and angry before, you know, and I think, we heard from a lot of people that they really wanted lawmakers to do something, in response to, George Floyd's death. And then, a couple of months later, the shooting of Jacob Blake, you know, the Milwaukee Bucks even weighed in. You know, they generally don't weigh in on state politics. And, we heard a couple players, you know, ask the legislature to convene the special session and not gavel out. You know, we just generally, they're not involved in state politics like that.
Did they ever gavel out the special session? I remember gaveling in. I don't think they did anything.
I believe the assembly did just recently gavel out. I am not sure about the Senate, but, so, you know, that's my takeaway is, you know, that there is the task force in the assembly. But at one point there was a lot of, you know, public, pressure for quicker action than that. And it ended up not happening.
Molly Beck from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Sean Johnson from Wisconsin Public Radio, our guests as we recap the year that was 2020 for your state capitol report and get your reaction at 1-800-642-1234. John and Boaz, you're on the morning show. Good morning.
Good morning. We must remember the history that we're kind of repeating as a parallel to the Vietnam War in 1960s. There was violent protests. It was caused by a government misunderstanding, all of those young men. And there was a reason to protest back then. This epidemic was caused by a bacteria. And we all know about this. We've learned in science class about bacteria, and listen to your health department, you know, wear a mask, social distance. What I learned in 2020 is how to bake bread.
Well, that's one takeaway from the year that was, John. Thank you very much. But another takeaway certainly is the politicization of just about everything. It seemed as though you couldn't so much as talk about mask wearing without having it be politicized this year. Sean, when did public health become a political wedge issue?
I remember it happening pretty clearly in April of this year, where you seem to have this dividing line for some people, where if you follow public health, it was viewed as a partisan act. Yeah. And it's difficult to cover because you want to, I mean, you
was it also was it, being here? I'm in Madison. So being in Madison to some degree, it could also feel like it was also pitting Madison, Milwaukee against the rest of the state. And the stay safer at home order may be what's good for Madison, Milwaukee. But we heard repeatedly, maybe that's not what's best for other areas of the state. And having Madison, Milwaukee versus the rest of the state is not a new debate that we've seen in state politics before, is it, Molly?
No, not at all. And that is true. In the beginning, the debate over whether the stay-at-home order was appropriate because it placed these broad restrictions uniformly statewide. You know, the argument was, you know, this is a Madison and Milwaukee issue right now. We don't need to have every business in Crivitz closed, you know, because most of the cases are in Milwaukee. You know, that doesn't make sense. However, that changed as time went on and you know, the rates of infection grew a lot in other places. You know, there's still a lot of cases in Dane and Milwaukee counties, but Brown County had a huge spike a few months ago. And we've seen it everywhere now. And I Waukesha County has one of the highest rates of infection right now in the state. And, you know, that argument, it, you know, you can't really make the argument that it's just a Milwaukee Madison problem anymore.
Pandemics don't know any boundaries, haven't been taught them. We're recapping the year that was, and it was a year unlike any other on your State Capitol Report, and we're happy to take your input this morning at 1-800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Our guests, the WPR Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson and Molly Beck from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, who covers the Capitol for them and us this morning, and you when we continue. So I'd like to know, what do you think about Governor Evers and the Republican-controlled state legislature's ability to work together? Do you wish it was more productive, civil? Where do you see opportunities for compromise when we look ahead towards 2021? That's where we're heading next after the news here on The Morning Show. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you're listening to the Ideas Network. Back in March, Wisconsin's unemployment rate was just over 3%. By April, it almost topped 14%, and many of the people who'd been paying into their own unemployment insurance found their own money completely inaccessible when they needed it the most. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn, and for Kate Archer-Kent with your State Capitol Report. Almost 9 million unemployment claims have been filed since March 15th, and Wisconsin's Department of Workforce Development says they've now processed 97% of those claims and hope to eliminate the backlog before the end of the year. We're looking back on the year that was, and you can help make this story more than just a statistic at 1-800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. You can always tweet at us as well, WPR Mornings. Our guest, WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson and Molly Beck, covering the state politics and government for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Sean, the coronavirus pandemic caused this economic recession, and unemployment spiked in the state and across the country. And then we saw a largely unresponsive Department of Workforce Development. Can you tell us what was going on in April as unemployment numbers shot through the roof and the DWD found itself unable to handle it?
Well, as you had businesses closing down temporarily, you saw it pretty prominently with the service industry after Safer at Home was issued statewide. You had on a daily basis, you just had tens of thousands of people filing for unemployment. You know, you had more volume on single days than you normally have in weeks by far. And it just stacked up. And the system obviously didn't handle it. You've heard, I guess, two sources of blame being thrown around for this. I mean, Republican lawmakers have said the blame rests with the Evers administration. They're in charge. They needed to do more than they did to deal with this. And, you know, Evers has countered that Republicans basically built the system that we're in right now with restrictions on unemployment and failed to modernize the system despite a warning from an audit in 2014. So that's kind of the political debate going back and forth. But of course, if you're a person that's caught in the thick of this, and a lot of people were, because you had tens of millions of calls that were just not answered by the state. This is something that, you know, hit people pretty hard. And one of many examples this year where state government, something that people normally don't think much about, But you start to realize just how much it affects people's lives in a time of crisis.
Molly Beck, our unemployment insurance in Wisconsin, it wasn't built for efficiency, was it?
Well, I was looking at what happened during the Great Recession in 2008. And, the agency did not receive anywhere near what number of claims that they're receiving or they had received at its peak this year. And also that there are, there's a system that's been in place for decades that the administration says is the reason that it's not a quick process to, especially to adjudicate claims that, that need some follow-up, basically. But at the same time, you know, there have been, you know, just tens of thousands of people who haven't even received a call back, or they haven't even been able to talk to somebody, you know, and that, you know, the talking to somebody, I think, at least from my perspective, was the biggest source of frustration. And it just kind of exacerbated all the other frustrations, which, you know, not receiving any income for months is a big enough of a frustration, you know, for people. We heard from people who were choosing between, you know, meals or paying their rent. One father told us that he wasn't eating dinner so his kids could eat dinner, you know, just these terrible stories. And it just was a persistent issue that there didn't seem to be, you know, from our perspective, a lot of progress at all until just recently, when the interim director at the agency partnered with Google to, you know, somehow Google is looking at some of these cases and being able to figure out the issues that can be resolved quickly in a way that, I guess, you know, the people at DWD could not before.
The state legislature did waive the 1 week waiting period for unemployment insurance, though, correct? And is that, has that expired? Do we know? Or is about to?
Sean might know. I know that is something that the Republican lawmakers do not want to do again in the next COVID relief bill.
Okay.
That's all I know at this point.
Yeah, I actually don't know when it sunsets, but it does. And that's right. They've said that they're not going to do that again. Mm-hmm.
Sean Johnson is the Capitol Bureau Chief for Wisconsin Public Radio. Molly Beck covers the Capitol for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, our guest in this week's State Capitol Report, along with you at 1-800-642-1234. How do you think state lawmakers responded to COVID-19 and the pandemic, and how do you think the Department of Workforce Development dealt with the unemployment claims that were by the millions in Wisconsin in 2020? We also had the election come November and the election earlier in April. I'd be very interested in your feedback here as well. Molly, Wisconsinites voted on who they wanted to represent them in the state assembly and Senate this November. And there were a couple seats going back and forth, but it was a far cry from what some expected when the year began. There were calls for a supermajority, a veto-proof majority for Republicans in the state legislature. While that did not appear, neither did the blue wave that nationally some Democrats thought was going to occur.
That's right. There was, you know, big predictions on both sides about the changes that were going to happen in the legislature, and neither really materialized. The Democrats did flip a couple seats in the Milwaukee suburbs, and that, you know, builds on a trend that we've seen in the last few years under the Trump administration with some of those areas around Milwaukee that have typically been conservative areas, leaning more Democratic. You know, there was a assembly district. There's an assembly district in Wauwatosa that, you know, very conservative lawmakers like former Governor Scott Walker and former State Senator Leah Vukmir represented, and now a Democrat, Robin Vining. She represents that district. The district right next to hers in Brookfield, that flipped. Jim Ott, he's a longtime lawmaker in the Mequon area, that flipped too. So there's, you know, while there weren't the big changes that, you know, both sides were predicting, there were a couple of things that show there might be some movement in the maps.
Was there anybody predicting the lawsuits that would ensue following the outcome of Wisconsin's November election?
I think in Wisconsin, you know, it seems like everything ends up in a lawsuit. So
it's just a good bet.
That wasn't surprising to me.
Sean?
I'm sorry, Lee.
Well, so in April, we had the election in November, but we're still having the election this morning. It talked about the two state Republican Assembly members who have signed on to a lawsuit challenging the outcome of the November election. We had Congressman Tom Tiffany also signing on to a lawsuit that seemed to challenge the outcome of the voters' will in the state of Wisconsin. So the election, to some degree, still seems to be ongoing, albeit in the courts.
It does. I think with the lawsuits challenging Wisconsin's November election, I mean, it feels like they have almost run their course. Maybe not technically, but you're seeing now like the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals in their
Would you say it could have felt that way 2 weeks ago, though?
A couple of weeks ago, it felt like we were in the election. Yeah. I mean, we had all these cases stacked up where we were awaiting decisions, and it kind of just felt like it could go any way, depending on what a court decided, which is a weird place to be in following an election. You know, these were lawsuits like we've never seen before. They're not just challenging specific groups of votes necessarily. They're kind of challenging the whole system. And so, you know, they were asking for courts to do, you know, to take very bold steps that they've never taken before. It didn't happen in the cases, you know, that were decided involving Wisconsin or any other state for that matter.
The most recent lawsuit with the two state assembly members actually names the Electoral College as one of the defendants, and also the Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, as I understand it. So these cases are running their course right now in the courts, but ultimately it may be the April election with the decisions made in the state Supreme Court most recently that has paved the way for the outcome in the November election. Would that be fair to say, Molly, with the election of Justice Kurofsky?
That's certainly what, you know, Democrats are talking about right now. You know, there have been a series of decisions from the Wisconsin Supreme Court about the November election, with conservative Justice Brian Hagedorn siding with the court's liberal justices, including new Justice Jill Kurofsky, who won in April. And so Democrats are pointing that out with every decision that they believe that if she was not on the court, the decisions would likely be going the other way.
What are Republicans saying about Justice Hagedorn?
It depends on who you talk to, but I've seen a lot of criticism of him, saying that he is not ruling in ways that they expected him to be.
The latest on 2020 and what that means for the year to come in our state capitol report on the morning show, and still time for your call at 1-800-642-1234. Our guests, Molly Beck there covering the capitol for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and Sean Johnson, the capitol bureau chief for Wisconsin Public Radio. And you as well, I'm Lee Rayburn filling in for Kate Archer Kent, and you're listening to the morning show on the Ideas Network. The State Capitol Report on the morning show. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you're listening to the Ideas Network. We've been looking back on 2020 before we bid it adieu, and none too soon. We've been doing so as a way to preview what's to come in 2021. Budget battles, redistricting, any coordinated coronavirus response, heck, the safety of our state Supreme Court justices, and the integrity of our future elections. What do you think 2021 will bring? 1-800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Our guests for the hour, Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio's Capitol Bureau Chief, and Molly Beck, covering state politics and government for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. You both recently interviewed Governor Evers for an end-of-the-year interview, and I'd be interested in your impressions, especially compared to where we were or where the governor found himself at the end of last year. Molly Beck, I'll start with you. What did the governor have to impart to you at the end of this year?
Yeah, so he held a round of year-end interviews, like governors typically do every year, and we talked about a lot of issues, and he's the big takeaways that I put in my story were that he said that he will absolutely extend the face mask mandate when it expires in January. He said that he would likely veto stricter rules for absentee voting related to the indefinitely confined issue that has been a central issue to a lot of these lawsuits. Some Republican lawmakers are eyeing changes to that process, which allows voters who label themselves as indefinitely confined, they receive absentee ballots without having to apply over and over again, and they can bypass the photo ID requirement. He said he would veto a bill that would put stricter rules on that process, even if it also allowed election clerks to count absentee ballots before Election Day, which is something that he supports and the Republican Senate leader supports election clerks this year. We're under a big spotlight because, you know, they're not allowed by state law to count absentee ballots until Election Day. And so Milwaukee was counting until early the next day after Election Day. President Trump, you know, falsely claimed that meant that there were absentee dumps of ballots because it was, you know, all reported at once and early in the morning. So he said that he would not, you know, that's not a trade-off for him, those two issues. He also said that he would decide after the budget, basically, whether he would seek a second term. At the same time, he also said that he didn't want Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes to run for U.S. Senate in 2022. Both of those things would happen in 2022. So to me, that signals that he is thinking about running again if he wants, you know, Mandela Barnes to continue being his lieutenant governor. As far as the budget, he said that he is looking at possibly proposing a tax on vapor products again. That was taken out the last budget. And he also said that he's considering proposing legalizing marijuana for recreational use to boost state revenue. Those are some of the highlights in our interview.
Sean, what was your takeaway? And how would you compare the governor at the end of 2020 to the governor at the end of 2019?
I mean, the governor is kind of, in the way he carries himself, kind of steady. You know, if you heard him talking about 2020... it's weirdly similar to the way he would talk about 2019, just in tone. Obviously, there was a lot more that happened. And a couple things where it did strike me where, you know, you're kind of used to this point about to what the governor says about COVID-19 and sort of the debates there. I guess my ears perked up a little bit on a couple topics when he talked about, for example, the lawsuits around the election. He's clearly not happy with those, you know. His voice raises a little bit when he talks about those. He's not happy with Representative Tom Tiffany for joining that, you know, that amicus brief for the Texas lawsuit that would have overturned Wisconsin's election. Also heard a little bit of, a spark there with the governor when I asked him about redistricting next year, because he's going to have, you know, the opportunity to veto any maps that the legislature passes. And that's going to be hugely important for the next 10 years in Wisconsin politics. He is not happy with a petition filed by the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty with the Wisconsin Supreme Court that would change the rules for how redistricting plans get challenged in court. It would, you know, force them to start with the state Supreme Court, whereas last time the lawsuits were in federal court around redistricting. So those are a couple things, not exactly proposals from the governor, but areas where you heard him, get a little bit angry.
Well, and there is also the back and forth about whether or not there will be another state, more state legislation to address the coronavirus and the pandemic. Governor Evers has pressed the legislature to pass a coronavirus response bill before the end of the year, and he proposed a scaled back $100 million version. So, Molly Beck, are we going to see any movement on that in the next few days as we reach the end of the year, or are we going to see it in the new year? Are we going to see it at all?
No, there's not going to be a bill before the end of 2020. That's pretty clear. That would be a huge surprise if that happened. But I know that, you know, there were negotiations and talks for about a month, and then the governor proposed a piece of legislation that he says are measures that all three, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, the Senate leader Devin Lemieux, and him have agreed on to get something passed quickly. The Republican leaders said that the governor was essentially blowing up negotiations by putting that out there. And the last thing we heard from them is that the Senate leader said he would continue working with Speaker Voss and did not mention the governor. So I don't know what that means for a COVID relief bill. Like Sean said earlier, there was just one bill in all of 2020. And it looks like, you know, the productive discussions that we thought were happening are not happening now, but maybe that will change.
Well, as you mentioned, we do have a new Senate Majority Leader in Devin Lemieux as Scott Fitzgerald takes his place in Congress after the November election. And how does the leadership change in the Senate, Sean, if at all, change the debates that will take place in 2021?
I think what we might still be getting used to is just you have a different Senate Republican caucus now. They have two new members. They've gotten more conservative, I think, after this last election. And I mean, partly it's the personalities, and partly it's they can, when you have a majority as big as they do, they can afford to lose some votes here or there. And so that's going to affect how Devin Lemieux negotiates on behalf of the caucus. So that's something we're getting to know right now. It's not necessarily like who the leader is, but you know, who he's speaking for.
And Molly Beck, as we look ahead towards 2021 and the political battles that are on the horizon already and will be left over from 2020, what do you have your political eye on?
Well, the potential second COVID-19 relief bill, that's something that, you know, we've been following and looking to see if that happens. And also there's a state budget process that has to happen this year. So we'll see how that works with the pandemic. You know, not everybody's going to be vaccinated in Wisconsin for months. So it'll be interesting to see how lawmakers, you know, get together physically or not, you know, to negotiate the budget.
Sean, and what's bleeping on your political radar in the next year?
I think you're going to see Republican lawmakers talk a lot about changes to election laws. I mean, there are some of them, including on the committee, that will consider those bills who are, I believe one of the lawmakers on that committee, if not more, believes that or has said they believe that President Trump won Wisconsin. And so they're going to be looking at bills that will change election laws. I think there are going to be a lot of bills that are going to be headed to the governor's desk for likely vetoes. So if you're ready to stop talking about elections, I'm sorry. It's going to keep happening.
With apologies from Wisconsin Public Radio's Capitol Bureau Chief, that's Sean Johnson along with Molly Beck. Thank you both from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. With this week's State Capitol Report, I'm Lee Rayburn in for Kate Archer Kent, and you're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.